And welcome to Third and Outside, the fourth edition here. I am your host, Wes, joined as always out in Hawaii via Skype, the one, the only, Eric.
Hello, good day.
Eric's kind of in a gloating mood today, but we'll let him get to that later in the show, based on our picks last week. I literally tore out what hair I had left while Eric was kind of, well, Eric doesn't have any hair to worry about. But he didn't have to worry, period, because he had a good weekend.
Winner.
How was your week, buddy?
Good. Busy.
Busy?
Helping a friend out, so.
Ooh, helping a friend out do what? Build?
Yeah, doing some remodel stuff.
Holy cow, so busy out there.
Yeah, hit my thumb with a hammer and cut myself, all kinds of good stuff.
Ouch. Don't want to be doing that too much. Yeah, well, you're lucky you got sun out there on the Big Island. We're snowed in here.
Yeah, we actually got snow the past couple days here, too.
On top of the mountain. I was about to say, on top of the mountain. I don't think down on the mainland you got anything.
Yeah, no, it doesn't get down this low. But at 13,700 and some feet, yeah, it's been snowing.
Oh, we'll get up there. All right. Let's get this moving. Let's see here. Let's start with the BCS title game. It was a
fun game.
Oh, very fun game. Really a lot closer than I thought it would be. I thought Auburn was going to pull away with this game, and they really didn't. I think Oregon held on very well. I mean, it started out, in the first half, I think it was, it started out as a defensive battle, you know. Both quarterbacks threw a pick. The Oregon quarterback threw two picks there, I think, in the first quarter, wasn't it?
I'm not sure how many picks he threw.
I think it was two.
Yeah, there was a few turnovers. But Oregon did just enough to hold on. Auburn really seemed like they had control of the game, you know, most of the way through. Oregon came back late and scored. I did pick Oregon to win, but I think when I picked Oregon to win, I mentioned that if Auburn won, it would be a last second type of win, but they've done that all season anyways.
Well, for the most part they have. They've had to come, Auburn, you mean?
Auburn's
won in quite a few games by a lot. Now, there have been a few games here and there that they've won close, but I think they've won, like Oregon, won by blowout most of the year. But yeah, it started out defensively there in the first quarter. Second quarter, the offenses seemed to take over. And then when you get after halftime, you get into that spot of the game where Auburn and defense kind of took over, but their offense couldn't do anything much either. Oregon's offense was kind of weak, but it's that bend but don't break defense we saw, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get inside the red zone, but you're not going to get anywhere. But I think the biggest play, the tide turner, was at when Oregon had the lead, and they got that safety. Auburn got that safety.
Yeah.
Now, the official rule on that is that I've heard a lot of people say that shouldn't have been a safety because the ball was outside the end zone. The official rule is this. The entire ball has to be outside the plane. And if you look at the replay in the picture, half the ball was right there on that white stripe, which is the plane. So in order for it not to be a safety, he had his arm completely outside with the tip of the ball on the line.
Yeah, for a touchdown, you only have to break the plane, right?
You only have to break the plane, but for it not to be a safety, you have to get it outside, which doesn't make any sense at all. But his knee was down to begin with. If you look at the replay, his knee was down before he stretched out and got the ball out, so it was still a safety any which way you look at it. So hush, Oregon fans.
Yeah, I think the interesting call of the game was that tackle towards the end of the game. Did you see the highlights for that?
Dyer?
Yeah.
Dyer's run?
Yeah, right. Dyer run, they're calling it. Yep.
Yep. It was a very, very, very good run by a freshman running back, Dyer, there of Auburn. Basically, if you didn't see it, or if you did and you're an Oregon fan and you're saying he was down, again, shut up. I'm going to tell you like it is. Sorry. His knee if you watch the replay, he was tackled, the defender, instead of, like, tackling to him to the ground, for some reason tried to spin him and throw him into the ground. For what reason, I don't know. Sloppy tackling there on that part. But in the process of turning him, his knee never touched, right?
Right.
He got his palm down, but the official rule is your palm can touch the ground. Back of your hand, you're down, so...
Yeah.
I thought it was so funny. Did you see the bench go nuts telling him to run?
Blew a whistle, so they should have... You know, a defender can still get a shot in there, although I guess you're risking getting a penalty when it's that close if the official thinks you took a cheap shot in there, but you got to play to the whistle.
Yeah, and the whistle never blew, and he got up, started the run, and then stopped for a minute thinking he would, you know, thinking the whistle had blown, but then the bench for Auburn just went nuts. Run, 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 run.
Yeah.
And then there's two knee gates, as they're calling it. His second run, when they were trying to get in field goal range to win it.
Right.
Dyer scored the touchdown, and they overruled it based on the knee being down. Now there's Auburn fans saying that his knee wasn't down. Again, shut up.
Yeah, his knee was down on that one.
His knee was down. Ball was about six. They put it right. Very, very well coached game by the Big Ten officiating crew. They had some problems earlier in the bowl season with the Big Ten crew, and none this time. So that was actually a pretty good thing to see, that they didn't screw anything up. Any comments for you, Eric, about the game?
I just really enjoyed watching the defense of Auburn. I think number 90, I want to say Clemens, but
Clement.
Is that his name? Clement?
Clement, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's going to be awesome in the NFL. I mean, I think he had a 15-yard penalty for a cheap shot or something, but what intensity he brought as a lineman and how he was really controlling that offensive line and just making Oregon. The other thing I noticed during that game, too, was the difference in athletes. I don't know if you noticed, but as they were all on the field, Oregon's team size, although they have great speed, they just looked smaller than the Auburn team. The Auburn team, they're fast enough, but they're all big, too. And I wonder if, you know, that's got to... If you got two guys that are equal in speed and one guy's bigger and one guy's smaller, obviously the bigger guy's going to win. But that's what it looked like, especially Oregon's quarterback.
You're right. There is a size difference in that thing. But what I took from the game is, yes, Clement, you know who he reminds me of?
Demonican Sue?
Exactly. Same intensity, all out, let's get to the quarterback, let's put the rush, you know. He was around the ball most of the game on the defense there for Auburn. So you're right. Great, and he does, ooh, Sue. I wonder if my Browns will pick him up.
That'd be a good pickup.
Yeah, they're talking about us picking up a cornerback. No, we already have Hayden. Let's get somebody else. but no, what I noticed is, granted that the SEC has won 5 straight national titles. For the last 5 years, they've had the title, which is kind of sad. This one... The way Oregon played and the way Ohio State, and I'm sorry, any of you Buckeye haters out there, okay, you're telling me that TCU found a way to win, but when Ohio State did the same exact thing, you're telling me Ohio State was finding a way to lose. Or no, got lucky. And they did the same thing TCU did. A defensive play late in the game, and yet... Two separate things. I'm sorry, you're just hating. But, side point, I'm sorry to go off there. What I noticed between the Ohio State playing Arkansas and Oregon playing Auburn, there are some of the major teams in the major conferences starting to catch up in ability with the SEC. I don't know if you saw that either.
Yeah, it does look like they're closing the gap more. The SEC's really... been so strong for so long that you got to learn from them eventually and catch up to them if your coaching staff and just management skills alone would dictate that.
Oh, yeah. And from what I've gathered, Trussell is and Chip Kelly have done that. They've, you know, now granted, Jim Trussell's a lot more conservative than Chip Kelly is, but I think those are the two coaches that from this point on are going to have that, you know, SEC style of managing the game and coaching and all that. They may not have all the players, but you know, the SEC, the main thing is there is everybody works as a team for the most part, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what you get there. Any other notes on that game?
No, that's it for me.
Alrighty, we'll move right along then to, again, four shows in a row when we're talking about this. The new University of Michigan coach, Brady Hoke, coming from San Diego State after leading them to their first winning season this year, 9-4, led Ball State to a 12-1 record in 2008 and was on Lloyd Carr's staff from 95 to 2002 and was the defensive line's coach of that 1997 national championship team. Michigan boy, Eric, do you think he's the right fit for the job? I mean, what's your take on it? You're the Michigan fan.
Yeah, I think because he's familiar with the Michigan culture, they're calling it. They keep saying they need a guy with Michigan culture. I think he's the right pick. But again, the program seems to be so far behind, it's hard to say what's going to happen. Can he come in and make it a 10-2 season next year or 10-1 or whatever? And, you know, it's a long road, I think. It's going to be a tough road. So they thought that Rodriguez would be good too, coming from Virginia Tech. And I think he was from Virginia Tech, wasn't he?
West Virginia.
West Virginia, yeah. So, again, only time will tell. I think they did the right thing getting a guy that's familiar with the culture in Michigan and defensive guy. That's the other big thing. Not, maybe he doesn't have to worry about the offense next year because I think...
He's still trying to get Robinson to come back. Denard Robinson has not committed to come back for his junior season.
Are they going to go recruit all brand new kids for the defense and get rid of who they have, or how's that going to work, you know?
Well, from what I hear, he's going to plug in some pieces what he can get. They're a little behind on the recruiting process, but you never know. I don't think this year's going to be the greatest. I think next year is where it's going to show who he really is as a coach, because this guy does look good. If you watch the two, we'll say this. If you take Rich Rod's opening interview from when he started, and then you take Hoke's, okay? One is kind of calm, mellow, tried to downplay everything, downplay the Ohio State-Michigan game, everything else. Hoke's, watch that interview, total exact opposite. Energy, passion, fire, flat out said, the game on the schedule is the Ohio State-Michigan game. That is the most important game of the season, and I am quoting him in the same manner that he said it. This man reminds me of Jim Trussell of Ohio State when he first came in. Okay.
Is that what Trussell said about Michigan? That's the game?
Yep. When he came in after all those years with John Cooper and Lloyd Carr just mopping the floor with us, he flat out said when he was introduced to the media and when he was introduced to the fans at the Ohio State-Michigan basketball game, which Hoke is going to be doing the same thing here this weekend or something. I forget when they're going to do it. When Ohio State and Michigan play basketball, which go Bucks.
Ohio State and Michigan did play.
They've played already?
Yeah, they won last night.
Oh, I missed it last night.
68-64.
Ohio State?
Ohio State did, yeah.
We're going to be number one in the nation. Woo, because Duke lost. Side note. We were number two in the nation. Duke lost to Florida State 66-61, so we're probably going to move up.
Yeah. They showed him at number two, Ohio State.
Yep.
Was what their rating was.
Yep, and by Sunday they'll be number one, I'm thinking, as long as they can. I think they got a game between now and then. The main thing is Jim Trussell, fire and passion. Brady Hoke, fire and passion. Time will tell, but he does remind me a lot of Jim Trussell and his mannerisms and everything else. I think, honestly, here next, not this season, but maybe the next season after, we'll start seeing the actual Brady Hoke player, because we can't right now, because we're still going to have Rich Rods, and he's only going to get a few pieces here and there, so it's still going to be a very long season for you Michigan fans next year, unless for some reason he's got the... I mean, there is some talent on the defensive side. I just don't think Rich Rod was very good at coaching it.
Well, he didn't really coach the defense that much, didn't he? Have a guy that he brought in to... What's that?
He had a coordinator, yeah, but
yeah.
He picked the coordinator.
Right.
Which is not, you know, if you don't know defense, you're not going to be able to pick the right coordinator to begin with, because you're not going to know what the man's talking about. But yeah, I think there's a bright future for you Michigan fans there. I think it really, really is. Anything you would like to add?
I hope so. I hope that there's a bright future for the Wolverines.
You guys could use it, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Appalachian State, Toledo, Crappy Records. Man, you guys have just had it all here in the last, what, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I think they lost to Connecticut 1 year. But yep. Connecticut's been growing in strength anyways.
Oh, the Connecticut coach, did you hear? He signed with Maryland. He left Connecticut and he's going to Maryland now, the coach.
Really?
Yep.
He's had success at Connecticut. I'm surprised.
Mm-hmm. Brought him out of the Division II ranks and moved them on up. Some more coaching signs. Jim Harbaugh, who was in the running for Michigan, ended up going to San Francisco. 5-year, $25 million deal. I don't know about being the right fit in 49ers. He's got some young talent there in San Fran. My thing is every level that he's coached in, every level that is harder, he's had a harder time getting wins. Like at University of San Diego, different from where Hope came from, he went 29-6. At Stanford, he went 29-21 against harder talent. Now, granted, he's 58-27 in the college ranks, period. I don't know. I think as long as the team's young, he might be able to coach them up. But I don't know. Look at Pete Carroll. I mean, it's for some reason when coaches come to the NFL from college ranks, I always just kind of cringe, you know, like, oh, God, this is going to hurt, you know. But
yeah.
Look at Seattle coach Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll.
So what's your take on it? Do you think Jim Harbaugh did the right thing?
I think I would have liked to see him go to Miami. I think Miami was looking for a coach, too, and he might have been a better fit there.
The Dolphins?
It's tough to go from college to the NFL. And you're not going to go to an NFL team that's had a lot of success.
Yeah, that's
true. When you're making that transition. So, it'll be interesting to see what he does. I like what you were saying, how he was gone from San Diego State to Stanford and coached up at Stanford, a little bit tougher competition there. So maybe that's his natural progression to go to San Francisco and try to coach that team up.
Well, I think next year's going to be really, really hard. It is the NFC West of all places, so... Who knows? He could have a turnaround next year for all I know.
Yeah, if he's got a chance, it would be there.
That division, we'll talk about that in a minute because I'm really upset with you about your Seattle pick. That's all I'm saying.
You're going to be really upset when you hear what my picks are this week.
Oh, dear God. This is going to be
fun. I might go 0-4 this week.
Yes. I might be able to catch up. I think I think year three is when we start seeing something out of Harbaugh there in San Francisco. What do you think?
Could be, yeah. Will they let them last that long? It seems like if you don't have success within the first couple of years, they can you.
He'll have some success year two. He's not going to have it next year.
Yeah, he's going to have to show just enough to keep staying on there.
Yeah, he's going to have to show an improvement along the way, and I think he's going to show that. Year three, I think, is when there'll actually be something. Les Miles was also in the running for the Michigan gig. Signed a new year, 7-year contract extension there till 2017. We'll be making $3.25 million a season. No wonder he didn't leave. LSU said they will throw money at him to keep him, and they did, and they kept him. Granted, he hasn't done much here of his late, but, well, I guess that means nothing.
Did they go to a bowl game?
Oh, yeah, they went to a bowl game. They went to the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, yeah, they beat TAMU.
You mean Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Get it right. Which would
well,
be
that's how they have it listed, TAMU.
Yeah, they're weird. Their abbreviations make no sense, I swear. You know?
And 41-24.
What was that?
41-24 was the final score for LSU TAMU game.
He's won 60 something games out there, and he's won them a national title, but who knows? Maybe he'll reload. And it seems like there's always a different team every year out of the SEC. I think Florida's the only one who's won two in this 5-year period. It was Florida, LSU, Florida, Alabama last year,
Alabama.
Auburn this year. So who's going to be the team? Who's going to be the team the next time around? Could it be South Carolina? They looked good coming down the stretch. Who knows? Anything left on the college ranks that you would like to discuss as we wrap them up for the season?
Can't wait till next season.
That's what every fan says. I can't wait until next year.
Yeah, it's ending too fast. Even the NFL.
Well, NFL, we still got a couple more weeks on. We've got at least 5 more weeks worth, because you've got the 2-week period in between the conference championships and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Are they playing? They're playing the Pro Bowl out in Hawaii again, right?
Yeah, they brought it back last year. They didn't have it in Hawaii, but they did bring
it
back
this year. Is
it still
going to be the week before again, or are they going to do it after now?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see the date on it.
I'll have to check that. You take a look about that while I move us along here.
Okay.
Since you got nothing left in the college game, I've got nothing but left to say this. SEC was the class again. Big Ten really needs to show themselves. Bit of a letdown. The mid-majors, the what they call the non-automatic qualifiers, had a good season, I think, in the bowls. All I can say is that as a Big Ten homer, they need to pull their heads out of there. You know what? Moving along.
Yeah, so they got to step it up.
Say what?
They got to step it up.
Oh. Well, at least everybody but Ohio State has to. Ohio State carried their weight. That's all I'm saying. Hey, I'm allowed to say that. We won our bowl game.
I thought
an SEC
one other
team.
Big Ten team won.
Not against the SEC.
No, okay.
Every Big Ten team except for Ohio State that played the SEC got killed. I wanted to say something else, but I couldn't. Trying to keep this podcast clean so it can stay on iTunes. Yeah, they got destroyed. So somebody needs to pick it up. All right, we'll move on to the NFL. Eric, where did you go this week?
Say that again?
Eric, what was your record this past week?
4-0.
Yeah, you remember.
Undefeated?
Eric correctly picked, along with me, Green Bay and Baltimore. But Eric's night on Saturday was more beautiful than I could imagine, as he picked the Jets to beat the Colts, which he barely got right.
Yeah, I did.
Barely. Now, my question on that one, did the Jets win it, or did Manning lose it? That's the question.
That is a good question. I think you got to say the Jets won it, because they came back and kicked the field goal right at the very end. Manning did his job.
Manning did not look exactly. He was didn't look great. From what replay, I didn't get to see the game because I was off at the motorcycle show down in Detroit. But from what I saw, Manning could have been a lot better.
He wasn't on the field that much.
Well, that's true. So that means when he was on the field, he needed to be making the right decisions. I didn't see... I'm not going to say that he was terrible. There was a few plays that he missed that he could have done a lot better with. I think he's getting to that point in his career where his body is not doing what his mind says he can do. I think he's getting to that point, don't you?
Possibly. How long has he been in the NFL?
I think he was drafted in 98 after Tennessee's national championship.
So 11, 12 years?
12 years. He's getting there. You know, he's getting into that range where quarterbacks start to show a slight decline, even though they're the greats. And then the upset pick of the week. Oh, God. I'll let you say it, Eric, so that you can gloat about it.
The Seahawks.
Upset the New Orleans Saints. Eric got it right. He quoted the stat correctly where the Super Bowl champs since 2005 have had a very bad record in the opening round of the playoffs. So, Eric, bite me as I went 2-2.
Thank you very much.
As I went 2-2 in the NFL, you went 4-0, but you went 4-1 overall on our picks because of the college one. You did cover the spread in it, but unfortunately you picked Oregon regardless, so you don't get it.
Wait a second. If I cover the spread, that means I do get it.
But that was just a side thing.
Well, if I were to make a bet in Vegas and take the spread, that means I win.
Yeah, but you picked Oregon to cover the spread and win. In Vegas, you still lose. You bet it that way.
Well, no, if you pick the spread, that means you take whatever the spread is. It doesn't matter who wins or loses. That's why they give a spread.
Well, you can bet it. I did some research on this because I knew you were going to bring it up. I did a little bit of research. There's quite a few ways to pick on the spread.
Of course.
You can pick the spread, but still pick the other team to win. You can pick the spread and have the team to cover.
Well, if you pick the team, whatever team you pick, and you take the spread, say you take the Niners plus 4, then they can't lose by any more than 4 or 3.5.
But
so they can still lose the game and you still win.
But you can also bet it this way, and this is how you worded it. You said, "I'll pick Oregon to cover the spread," and I remember asking this distinctly because I wanted to make sure I could get you on it. And I said, "And to win," and they go, "Yes, and to win."
Well, I thought they were going to win, but I definitely took the spread that you were giving me.
You still lost the game. I'm not going to count the spread. I wouldn't have I had a one either. That was just kind of a little. That was just to see how good you really were, and you.
I guess I'll give you that one.
You were really good on that one. You picked the spread. So I'll give you a tie. I'll give each of us a tie. How's that sound?
That sounds fair.
I got the team right, and you got the spread right. So you finished 4-1-1. Which means you know what you're doing. Get it? 4-1-1.
That means I got the information.
Hey, everybody. Contact Eric. He's the new sports handicapper here of Third and Outside. I went 3-2-1. Not too bad.
3-2-1? How did we... What six games was there?
Well, no. I'm split. I'm giving each one a tie, remember?
Oh, so I went 5-0-1.
No. Tie. I'm giving 2 points for the college game.
Adds up to 6.
I'm giving 2 points for the college game.
Okay.
But this is how I'm doing it. I get 1 point for picking Auburn. You get 1 point for getting the spread. See what I'm doing now?
Okay, so what's my record then?
You got 4 NFL games. You lost the Oregon-Alabama team pick, and you get the tie. You get the tie point for actually, no, that's not right. But But then my math doesn't add up either. But yeah, any which way. Records aside. Anyways, moving
Throw
on.
Throw that one out.
Let's not get my math into it here. I did go to Ohio in a Texas school. I mean, come on. Let's move on to this week's divisional playoffs games.
All right.
Let's start with the AFC. We won't do it by day. Let's do it by conference. AFC, Baltimore travels to Pittsburgh after their tromping of Kansas City to face Pittsburgh Steelers. Eric, what you got on this?
I'm taking Baltimore.
You're taking Baltimore. Let me write this down here. Where is my pen?
This may be the week I go 0-4, though, because I'm taking a lot of away teams.
You're taking a lot of away teams. Well, how do I put this? These two hate each other.
I think they're 1-1 on the season, too, aren't they?
1-1 in the season, both games divided by 3 points or less. The point spread is Pittsburgh by 3.5, plus 3.5. Or minus 3.5, or whatever the heck they said. Anyway, 3.5.
Pittsburgh's favorite, so it'd be minus 3.5.
Minus 3.5, thank you. Pittsburgh minus 3.5. These two just hate each other. Pittsburgh has the strongest defense, just like Baltimore does. I still think, even after that Kansas City game, that Baltimore is still kind of weak at the corners. Not, like, super weak, but they have a couple kinks here and there in that secondary, especially the corners. KC never really got a chance, you know.
I did watch that game, and Kansas City actually, in the first half, played pretty well. They were moving the ball on Baltimore. They just couldn't turn it into any points.
Well, there's that bend and break defense that Baltimore has been having this year. They haven't been the dominating defense that they've been all here of as late, but they're the bend and break defense, which is still just as good. I think the game's going to come down to the Baltimore defensive line, to the Pittsburgh offensive line. And I know that's like the end out for everybody, you know, that's what they'll default to. I honestly think that's going to be it, because if Baltimore can get pressure on Big Ben, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get pressure on Big Ben, Big Ben's not going to have time to find those open receivers in the secondary. If the Steelers line gives him all day, he's going to find them all day. So my official pick is drumroll, Pittsburgh.
Oh, all man, right.
That took a lot out of me. I'm a Browns fan and I hate the Steelers, but I've got a chance.
Yeah, naturally, if you're a Browns fan, you'd root for the Baltimore Browns.
Baltimore Browns. Hey, don't you ever say that again, or I'll fly to Hawaii and knock the taste out your mouth.
Isn't that where they came from?
Yes.
Cleveland? Look at the team you guys could have had.
Eric, please don't remind me. We're going to move on. New England plays host to the New York Jets. Two more teams that really hate each other. Again, I'm going to state this fact. I really am wondering if the Jets won that game or Manning lost that game. You know?
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. Manning in the playoffs is different than Manning of the regular season. That's why I think Manning lost the game more than the Jets beat him. Last time these two played, Patriots killed the Jets. Killed them. Tom Brady has just played with swagger and poise all year. Looks like the old three Patriots again, you know? That really scary team of nobodies that you didn't really want to face. That's what this team looks like. So, I don't think Jets, just because of the game, I'm not going to pick them. I'm going to pick New England. I'll even say by 14.
Yeah, I think New England will cover 14. I'm taking New England, too. I think the Jets, pardon the expression, blew their load in their last playoff game.
Yeah, especially what's going on with their coach. That's
yeah.
Maybe not the best choice of words. if there's any kids listening, don't ask. Just hush.
Oh, that's a truck driver term. You know, when you got the load on the back of your truck and it falls off.
Oh yeah, that's right. Anything you're going to add about that game?
No, I think you're right, though. I think New England's going to stomp them again. The last game they did, what was it, 42-10 or something like that?
All I know is it was a destruction. I don't know the final because I didn't look it up. Now, there is some bad blood with these two. Jets cornerback Antonio Cromartie called Tom Brady some not so nice things. I can't repeat them on this show, but Tom Brady, just like he always does, just goes, "Eh."
Yeah, if anything, that's gonna just fuel Brady. He's one of those guys.
This game is closer than 14 points in New England's favor at the end of it. I will give my props to the Jets. I still don't think they're going to win. But if this game's closer than 14 points in the final score, the Jets did something. I mean, I don't know. We'll move on to the NFC. We're Green Bay, the red-hot Green Bay Packers. Travels the hot lineup to take on Matt Ryan and the Falcons. Eric, what you thinking?
In this one, a little bit tougher game to pick, but I'm looking at the quarterbacks. I like Ryan a lot, but I really think you're right. I think Green Bay is red hot, and I think Aaron Rodgers has the experience. He's got some momentum going. He's a quarterback. I think this is a definition game for him. If he wins this game and can advance the NFC Championship, he's going to start entering that group of quarterbacks that's kind of a special group of, you know, good quarterbacks. I don't know how else to put it. So I'm taking Green Bay.
You're taking Green Bay.
Yep. I didn't like the way Atlanta looked in their last regular season game either. I think they lost, didn't they?
Their last home regular season game? Yes.
Yeah.
Or wait.
To New Orleans. Didn't they lose to New Orleans at home?
They lost? Yeah. But did they play Carolina at home too? I can't remember. Where was that in Carolina?
They did.
Any which way you look at it, they against Carolina. We'll take Carolina out of the picture because Carolina's Carolina. There's a reason they're getting the first overall draft pick. You're right. When it came against a good team there, last home game, they didn't look good. You're right. Saints didn't look great either. Made for a compelling television, that's for sure. But I'm going to go with Green Bay as well. And this is why. Aaron Rodgers. Plain and simple. He's playing with the chip on his shoulder. He's hot. You know, he's dealing the hot hands. And you're right. If he wins, he's got something left. He's got something left to prove. Right? Everybody's doubting his eliteness as a quarterback. He's always been the second best quarterback in this playoffs behind Brady. I put him above Manning. The reason I put him above Manning is because he's had a better season in my eyes. But in this year's playoffs, and it was proven between the two games, Rodgers had the better game. So I'm justified in saying that. I agree with you. I agree with you somewhat. I think he has to get to the Super Bowl with this Packers team to become something.
Yeah.
Before he's starting to take taking seriously. I still like Ryan. They're a young team. They look good. This is their second playoff run, so they got a little bit more experience. I just think Rodgers is going to have fun with that secondary, I think. He always seems to find somebody, whether it's the dump off to the running back or the tight end, where he's flying driver down, you know, on a post pattern or a flat out just sprint, which I don't think Atlanta's got the quarterback, the corners to cover. I might be wrong. I'm not being paid by the mothership, so. But yeah, I think Green Bay wins in a close one. I'm saying 3 to 5 points.
Do you have the spread in front of you on the games?
Do not. I had it last night and I forgot to write it down.
Yeah, I think you're pretty close. I think Atlanta's favored.
Atlanta may be favored, but I'm going to go against that. I think Green Bay's got something to prove. So I'm picking Green Bay. So far we've only differed in one game. So let's see how this one goes. Let's go Chicago playing hosts the very lucky, very loose though, Seattle Seahawks. I'll start this one off, and all I can say is, wow. Oh. They gave it to the Saints last week, that's for sure. Saints started out strong, played well, somewhat, but for some reason just totally stalled. Drew Brees, I don't know what happened to the man. Did you hear about this? The fans were so in it when that punt, that return by, oh man, I forgot to look it up. That return, though, that 60-something yard return, the punt return mm-hmm. or kickoff return, whatever, which I think it was the kickoff return. When that happened down at the old King Dome where they have an earthquake Richter scale sensor.
Yeah.
They were so loud, and that's like two blocks, or that's like a block from where they're at, okay? Picked up. It registered on the Richter scale. That place going nuts and jumping up and down and all that stuff.
Nice.
Quest Field. That's, and now I got to give it to Seattle fans. You guys were nuts. Nuts for the game. You were the 12th man. That is why Seattle probably won that game, because, I mean, come on. It doesn't make any sense, but in why I say it. But when I think about it, it does. Because the Saints play in a dome and all, but I just think that the Saints were too inconsistent. I think that's why Seattle won that game. Honestly, I think it was more Seattle and more Saints than Seattle. Maybe.
Well, the Saints, yeah, the Saints were coming back in that game, and other than that run right at the very end, the Saints looked like they were definitely gaining momentum and going to end up pulling off a win.
But yeah, and that's the one that killed it, the one that did the Richter scale.
Yeah.
But when it comes to this game, I'm sorry, Seahawk fans. I'm picking against them again. I'm going to pick the Bears, and because of this, I don't think Seattle's defense can hold up if the good Jay Cutler shows up. There's always been two Jay Cutlers this year. There's been the good, accurate, smart decision-making Jay Cutler, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's been the holy crap, he's acting like Brett Favre, Jay Cutler. Getting wild, man, throwing passes, not thinking, you know, trying to make stuff happen that is not there. If the smart Jay Cutler shows up, this game's over. It's a blowout. All right? Now, granted, I have a high school friend that I've known and all that, Earl Thomas. I went to high school with couple of his family members, so I know him. He went to West Orange Stark down in Texas. He's the strong safety there for the Seahawks. Great guy and all that stuff. He's probably their best player on that side of him. That's my opinion. But if the bad one shows up, Eric, honestly, it's over. See, if you keep Seattle in this game, if Chicago keeps Seattle in this game, Seattle's got a chance. So I'm picking Chicago regardless. What you got?
I'm using this for my gambler's bet of the week and
you're
taking the Seahawks again.
Again?
Again.
If you get this one, oh my God.
And I like a couple things you're saying. Loose and lucky. I think Seattle's playing loose and lucky. I think, again, I'm looking at the two quarterbacks. Who's going to show up for Chicago? The consistent, smart decision-making Cutler. And I like, what's the Seahawks quarterback? I lost it.
Hasselbeck?
Hasselbeck, yeah. I think Hasselbeck's just showing up with a smile on his face, thinking he's got nothing to lose and he's just going to, you know, play loose and lucky. I'm going to take the Seahawks again. I don't think they'll go, if they win this game, which, you're taking the safe bet. I think Chicago's the safe bet to win the game. It's in Chicago. but I am going to take Seattle. I don't think if they do win this game, they won't advance past whoever they play.
Well, in order for Seattle to finish with a winning record, an even record, we'll say that, they have to go to the Super Bowl.
I can't see them doing that.
Yeah, you finish with a 500 record, they have to go to the Super Bowl. If you get this one right, I'm warning you. You're getting on a bloody plane. You're flying to Vegas. You're going to meet me, and we're going to go hit some of the casinos. If you hit this twice, you got the first one right. It may have been by blind luck, gambler's choice, whatever you want to call it. Obviously, you see something in Seattle. I don't. And I'm still trying to figure out what that is. I think Pete Carroll... I think you're just picking it based on the fact they look loose and ready to play, and which is what Pete Carroll does, but I honestly think the ruck and the luck runs out this week in Chicago. But that's our picks. We'll run them back down real quick for you guys so that you can keep track of them. He picked Baltimore, I picked Pittsburgh. We differ there. We both picked New England. We both picked Green Bay. And we just split the Chicago-Seattle game with Eric for some bloody reason picking Seattle.
Seattle.
So if you go 0-4 this week, I'm guaranteed to go 2-4. So that works. 2-2. So that works for me. That'll put me back in the running. Anything to add here on these playoffs?
Go Seahawks.
Dub Bears.
Dub
Man,
Bears.
You and I are going to watch that game now. I'm going to have to make sure to watch that this weekend. We'll move right along then. This one. The Andre Agassi issue. Did you hear about this?
Yeah. Well, after you had emailed me, I checked it out.
Andre Agassi, if you haven't heard, everybody, auctioned off a nude picture, or a look at a nude picture of his wife's... Stephanie Graf, I think it is, Steph Graf, or whatever her name is, at an auction in Japan. Two things. One, I hope she approved it. Secondly, who wants to see her naked? Not here in the States. I guess they're in Japan, they do. What do you think about this, Eric?
Yeah, it's very odd to me. I watched the YouTube clip of the Japanese auction, and yeah, basically said if somebody buys this item for X amount, I will also show you a nude picture of my wife on my cell phone. And then the guy went up, they showed him going up, and they showed Agassi going through his phone, clicking, you know, his my pictures, and then showing the guy, and the guy's eyes opened real wide, and he looked at everybody and smiled like, oh, yep, that's a nude picture of his wife. And then Agassi brought his phone back to himself again and went through some more and clicked. And I think Agassi showed the guy like two or three different pictures of his wife nude, because the guy kept looking up, smiling, and Agassi would pull his phone back, go through some more, and then show it. But I don't know. Yeah, seems like an odd thing to do. Maybe his wife pre-approved it for, you know, I don't know if it was planned to help with this auction. Was the thing I didn't catch was if the auction was for charity or what the deal was. But yeah,
that was it was weird. I'm hoping, like I said, I'm hoping she pre-approved that, because that was just scary. that just doesn't make any sense. What, I don't know. I have no inkling to see Graf naked. I honestly,
Yeah, one thing that when I was watching the YouTube clip, I was kind of questioning if it was really Agassi, the guy. Maybe I haven't seen him in a while, and he looks
a
little
Agassi.
Different. Yeah. But he
pictures.
Looked a little different to me for some reason.
Well, he's also 43, I think, now.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was. I just hadn't seen what he looked like for a while. It looked like he'd gained a little weight and his face filled out a bit or something.
He hasn't. Neither one of them have played tennis in the last decade, I think. Or, no, last 8 years. So, I mean, he's just basically sitting around doing endorsements now.
taking pictures of his wife.
Obviously, if he's got more than one on there, gosh. Oh, this just popped up on my little news feed thing. We'll talk about this for a quick second here. It seems that Brett Favre's sister was arrested during a drug raid in southern Mississippi.
Uh-oh.
And it hasn't been the first time she's been in trouble. It's the Hancock County Sheriff's Major Matt Carl said officers are very familiar with the 34-year-old Brenda Favre. She's always in trouble. Boy, it must run in the family.
I guess so.
Holy crap. First, Brett Favre is sending nude pictures of himself. Or actually, what is it? What is it with athletes in a nude phone and the phone in nude? What is that combination? Athletes,
I guess
plus
it's
cell
just
phone
too tempting.
Jeez, I don't know. That's just nuts.
No pun intended.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, no pun intended there. Let's see. She was arrested with two of the suspects. The two other were charged with the sale of controlled substance, and one of them also faces a charge of possession of meth with the intent to distribute. She happened to have, about 9 grams of meth on her. And the hazard, the materials to make more. She, Brett Favre has not commented. He probably won't. He's got his own legal troubles. She's in custody still, so. What is it with the Favre family?
I wonder if that's where Brett used to get his, what was he stuck on? Oxycontin or something
Oxycontin.
Like that?
Yeah, probably. It was, something's not right there in that family. Too much inbreeding, maybe? I don't know. Here I am talking. Here I am talking about one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history and calling him an inbred. I look forward to your emails. Actually, I really do. I haven't seen any. if you're a subscriber and you haven't sent us a comment or an email yet, what's wrong with you? Come on.
Do it now.
Do it now. Right now. Pause the show. Send us an email. I don't care if you tell me off for calling Brett Favre an inbred hick. I mean, his actions off the field are kind of proving it. His on-field play.
Yeah. Our show is like a needy kid. We just need your attention.
Please. That way we know we're doing something.
By the way, the Pro Bowl is in between.
Again?
It's January 30th, and the Super Bowl, I think, is what, February 6th or 8th or something?
It'd be that following Sunday.
Yeah, seriously? So that doesn't make any sense to me.
It didn't work when they did in Miami that way. I mean, what was it, like 10 players or something like that from the Super Bowl teams had to not play? So you're going to do that again. I mean,
right.
Let's see, we've got quite a few New England Patriots. I'm sorry, New England's still coming out of the AFC in my mind, unless they somehow don't play good against the Jets, then I'll start thinking otherwise. But if they destroy the Jets, sorry, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, whoever comes out of that one, you've got no shot. And then you've got, I know you've got quite a few Falcons on there. Aaron Rodgers made it, I think. Chicago's got a few. Seattle, I think, got one. Earl Thomas. So, if Seattle, I can't even say it because it's not happening. So anyways, why, I don't get why the NFL's doing this. Why? Because it's an honor to play in the Pro Bowl, like it is the All-Star game for Major League and the NHL and NBA. It's an honor, you know. Now in football, you want, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, because the people want to play both in the All-Star game and the Super Bowl. Now, Super Bowl is the greater honor, and I can see why the players are stepping aside and not playing, because somebody's going to say, well, if it's such an honor to play in the Pro Bowl, why don't they play? Well, because the Super Bowl championship means more.
Yeah. What makes the least amount of sense, the Pro Bowl being in between the AFC-NFC Super Bowl championship games, or the overtime rules for the NFL?
Oh, man, you had to bring that one up.
Both of those are so
for such a professional organization, don't they both seem silly?
They kind of seem silly. Do you have the overtime rules in front of you? Or no?
No, but I know it's basically a coin toss. You know, whoever wins the coin toss, and if you get the ball and score, you win. But I think in the playoffs, it's a little different.
It's
the other
a little
team
different
gets,
this year.
Kick a field goal, the other team gets a chance to kick a field goal or score a touchdown. But if you score a touchdown, you win.
It's over.
You're right.
Or change possession. We'll just pick a game here. Say for some reason the Orlando Green Bay goes to overtime, right? Mm-hmm. Packers get the ball first. They get down the field. Somehow Atlanta's able to stop them. They kick the field goal. Atlanta would get the ball back, and the game would either continue or end on three different ways. One, Green Bay kicks a field goal. We do it again. Atlanta kicks the field goal. I mean, we do it again. Okay? And Green Bay gets the ball back. Atlanta scores a touchdown. Game over. If Matt Ryan drops back and throws an incomplete pass. Not an incomplete pass, an interception. Right there, no matter what happens. And they clarified this on the mothership. I was watching Mike and Mike in the morning. They clarified this. As soon as the possession changes, the interception happens, game is over. Because they brought up the scenario, okay, let's say there's an interception, but on the return there's a fumble, and the team who threw the interception gets the ball back. Do they get the shot? The answer is, by rule, no.
Oh, I didn't even know that one. So the offensive team doesn't have a chance to jar the ball loose and get the ball back?
Nope.
That's not good.
Is intercepted, it is over. He doesn't have to run or anything. He can grab the ball and stand perfectly still. They're going to blow the whistle, play's dead, game over.
Wow.
Now, if Green Bay gets the ball first, like in my original scenario, and scores a touchdown, game over. Which doesn't make any sense. You're going to let the Falcons have a shot if they get the Packers get a field goal, but you can't let them have a shot of a touchdown.
Yeah, that's screwy.
But to answer your original question, which one is worse? I'm going to say, honestly, the overtime rules.
See, I was thinking the having the Pro Bowl in between, because the overtime rules, as messed up as they are, you don't see them that often. But
true.
The Pro Bowl is there. You know, that's every season.
Yeah, I see your point you're making. It's probably more like, in my eyes, a 1 and a 1A. I mean, they're that close. Honestly,
yeah.
It needs to be moved back a week. It needs to be moved to the week after the Super Bowl, like it always has been. I don't know what Goodell is thinking.
Yeah, I think the players would enjoy it more, too, if it was after the season. They can take their families out to Hawaii and spend time or whatever. And I mean, the fans are going to enjoy it anyways, but they're going to enjoy it less if they're real good. The guys that are going to be playing in the Super Bowl aren't playing in the Pro Bowl, but they got picked for the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and here's the thing going on with this now. Think about it this way. The two representatives for the Super Bowl, the people who, they still have to go to the game.
Right.
They still have to fly out there. They still have to be on the sidelines, which in itself is stupid. I'm going to change my pick. It's the Pro Bowl. Because now I'm thinking about these things. If, you know, you got to fly out to the Big Island and see, where's the Super Bowl this year? Dallas? Yeah. And then, after that game, they have to fly back to Dallas. That's way too much flying in between the week of the Super Bowl. You can't take your family out to Hawaii if you're playing in the Super Bowl, because you're going to have no time to do anything with them.
Right.
But you're going to have to get back to Dallas ASAP. The rest of the team players can. The families can come out there and they can enjoy it. You're taking something from the Super Bowl representatives that you shouldn't be taking.
Yeah, and how about this? How about if you have the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl, and you have Brady. So let's say Brady wins the Super Bowl, and Aaron Rodgers loses it. But then they face each other again in the Pro Bowl. So now you got to go, okay, Rodgers is going to have a chip on his shoulder. He's going to try to win the Pro Bowl Now it brings something to the Pro Bowl again. Now there's a, you know, or the AFC wins a Super Bowl and the NFC doesn't. Now they got something to play for. But maybe they don't want to have that game, a real intense game, because they don't want people getting injured in the Pro Bowl, because it really doesn't mean anything.
Well, it means something to the players and to the fans, I guess. I don't know. All I know is, until the NFL comes out with a reason why, they probably didn't. We haven't seen it, but... All right, buddy. Let's wrap this up. Anything you want to add before we get moving?
Aloha to the state of Hawaii.
To the state of Hawaii. Anybody listening out there yet? Have they told you?
No.
Yell at them a little more. Run them over with the truck here, that van of yours.
I will. With that Red Wings license plate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. You may want to take that off. It might make it really easy to find you. He had a Red Wings license plate. Oh, we know that guy. All right. Let's wrap this show up. If you guys enjoyed it, make sure to subscribe to it on iTunes. We're listed on there, Third and Outside. If you're listening through Podomatic, you can do it right there on our website there through Podomatic. Speaking of website, I am actually building one, thirdandoutside.com. Actually working it right now. Should have it up here maybe by next show and all that. I'm also going to be hosting a semi-daily. It's going to be daily as long as I can keep up with it. You know, some days I'll miss, some days I won't. Wes's quick hit little blog, just hit some things in between here and there, between shows, keep you kind of interested and into it. You can also check us out on Facebook, Third and Outside. Search 3RD and Outside. We're on there. We could use some more fans. If you're a subscriber and you still haven't gone to our Facebook page, I know everybody has a Facebook page. Even Eric has a Facebook page.
I got one, and I live on an island.
He lives on an island. Now, he may not do much with it, but he's got one. So just about everybody's got one. Check us out on there. Like it. We could use some more fans. Man, why? I'm pandering to these guys today, aren't I?
That's okay.
Hey, if you like us enough to subscribe us, you like us enough to like us on Facebook. Right?
That's right.
Check us out. You can't miss us. There's two bold guys on there. I'm the one with the sunglasses and the chubby cheeks, and then Eric's the nicely golden tanned one taken from a picture in Michigan.
That's where I thought you got that picture from.
Yep. I'm not going to give the exact picture I gave it from, but yeah, you're thinking of the picture I got it from. Check those things out. You can also, if you enjoyed listening to me and all my antics, a little personal promotion, because we're going to start here on BGL, not this week because stuff here, hopefully episode 5 or 6. I keep saying one of these episodes are going to do it, but I'm having kind of a discussion with management exactly how to run it. You can check me out on BGL Radio. B as in boy, G as in girl, and L as in listener, and it's better get listening, I guess. I don't know. BGLradio.net. Check us out on there. I'm on there Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays in the mornings, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time till 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So check me out on there, playing the best music of the 2000 through today. Well, 90s through today. So if you're in there and you've tuned in because of this podcast, let me know. So that way I know what's going on. All right. So from Eric, who's giving out his aloha already. Anything quickly to add before we leave?
We'll talk to you next week, and we'll see who does better in the picks for the NFL playoffs.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Going to try to do it on Tuesday next week. Have it up by Tuesday evening, Wednesday night. If not, I'll let you know again on the Facebook page. Join us on there. All right, for Eric, I am Wes. Like he said, see you next week, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in, and we are just a bit outside. Third and Outside is produced and edited by LM Productions. 2010 copyright, all rights reserved.